Alrighty, let me start here. What do I do, brother? Just click, click, like that.
Other way.
Click, click. You'll be right. You'll be right.
This is part of the icebreaker routine.
So I've broken it before I even got here. I've broken it. Alrighty, we're on. So I just need to go click. Alrighty. Thank you, boys and girls, mums and dads, and visitors. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you, and then we will have our very short Bible lesson this morning, okay? Matthew and chapter 20, to start with, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. All right, let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great morning thus far. And Lord, as we come to look at your word for just a few minutes this morning, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in a special way. Lord, if there's someone here, young or old, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they will see their desperate need of him today and turn to him in faith. Bless us, we pray. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Righto, here's our story. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And in actual fact, Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he told his disciples plainly, he's going there to die, to be scourged, to be buried, and to rise again. But a few days before that, we have what is commonly known today as Palm Sunday. And that's the little story here in Matthew 21 that I want us to focus on this morning for just a few minutes. The Lord Jesus told two of his disciples to go into a nearby town as they were getting near the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And he said, listen, go there. I want you to get a donkey for me. And not just one donkey. I want you to get two, a donkey and a colt. In other words, a little baby donkey, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so that's what they did. Well, these disciples brought back the donkey, and what the people did, a big crowd gathered around Jesus because he was very popular at that stage for all the things he did and all the things he said. And so this is what they did. They took some of their robes off and their coats and so on, and they put them on top of the donkey, and Jesus got on top of this donkey, and there were people behind him and a great crowd in front of him, and they got palm trees and they put that in the way. Now remember, a road in those days wasn't like, you know, the Hume Highway. It was like a track, a dirt track. But they put their clothes in front of him, and they put these leaves in front of him, and it was a great crowd before and behind. And then Jesus started on his way, continuing into Jerusalem. And you know, the people, they started crying and they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. What does the word Hosanna mean? Well, it means either Messiah or Savior. They said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Here's the man coming, and he's going to save us. He's going to get rid of these Romans. He's our Savior. He's the Son of David. And so they had this great procession, and they continued down to Jerusalem, and they were coming towards the temple. Now, this was Herod's temple, not Solomon's temple. In actual fact, Herod's temple was way bigger than Solomon's temple. It was one of the great structures of the world in Jerusalem. And so they were coming. He was coming. The Lord Jesus was coming with all this great crowd and all this adulation down towards Herod's temple. And they got inside the city of Jerusalem. And there's Jesus looking over the city of Jerusalem. And the people inside, they saw all this great crowd coming down. And so they began to wonder. And the whole city said, who's this? What's all the fuss about? What's all the commotion about? And the people that were around about Jesus said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Now Jesus got to the temple and he found that something was going on in this great big temple that wasn't good. There was like a market there, and markets, of course, are very common. Even today, markets are common. But what happened was this was a market of crooks. A lot of bad things was going on, were going on in the temple. And so basically Jesus said, listen, this is not right. he got some whips and he drove all the money changers. I won't go into for time's sake into why they did this, but there was a lot of shady dealings going on. There's a lot of corruption going on at this market inside the temple. And so Jesus got the tables and he tipped them up and he got a whip and he drove these people out and he said, this is not on. This is not on. Well, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and so on, they weren't real impressed because obviously they were most probably getting kickbacks from what was going on and all the corrupt practices in the marketplace, in the temple. And Jesus said, it's interesting what he said to them. He said, my house should be the house of prayer, not a den of thieves. He called the temple my house. Well, that wasn't all that happened. Inside the temple, when people heard that Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, and of course for 3 years of ministry, Jesus was very popular because he went round not just teaching and preaching, but he went round healing people. And so the people came rushing into him. The Bible says that the blind people were there and the lame people, you know, the people that couldn't walk, people that couldn't see. So they all came rushing up to Jesus. And you know what he did? He healed them. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to be able to walk again, the deaf to be able to hear, and so on. Now, a few observations from our story, and I'm nearly finished. I haven't got long to go, but here's a few observations. Number one, Jesus was very humble. He rode on a donkey. Can you imagine that? The creator of the universe riding on a donkey? Now, if someone is... I've been to Parliament House in... Canberra quite a few times. My son worked there for 10 years. And if you were a politician, especially if you're a prime minister or a leader of some description, you wouldn't ride around on a donkey. You get a comm car. Okay, and the more important you are, I suppose, the bigger the car. Of course, I think the PM has his own fleet of cars, and that's fair enough. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, that the Gospel of John tells us, riding around on a donkey. Why was that? Because he was very, very humble. And then Jesus, that day at least, was honoured. Isn't it funny that a few days later, what was the crowd crying to do? They said, crucify him. Crucify him. But on this particular day, Palm Sunday, he came into the temple and the people there were honouring him. You know the craziest thing is? The craziest thing is, you know, the name of Jesus today is... A lot of the world has never heard of the name of Jesus apart from a swear word. That is the saddest thing, when people use the name of the creator of the universe, the Son of God, Jesus, as a swear word. Nothing grates more, nothing offends a Christian more than hearing the beautiful name of Jesus desecrated, blasphemed. But at least on this day he was honored. And then he was healing. But the crazy thing was that even after all that he did here in cleaning up the temple and in healing all these people, you know, Jesus was hated. Jesus was hated. By the way, he is the most hated person in all the world. The most beautiful person, the only sinless man ever to live. And yet all around the world today, you know, why do people hate Israel? I'll tell you why. Because they hate Jesus. He told us that. He told us, he says, they're going to hate you because they hate me. And they hate you. People hate Jesus because they love their sin. That's the truth. That is the truth. Now, I want us to focus on verse number 15 here. This is I'm going to finish on this verse. I'll make a few more applications here. Verse 15. There we go. While all this was going on, and the religious leaders were were very cranky. You know what the kids do? Let me read verse 15 to you. It says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, healing all the people and cleansing the temple, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So here's the children in the temple. They were all crying. Now, they weren't crying as in, ah, boo-hoo. No, they were crying as in they were shouting for joy. They could see the great things that Jesus had done, and they were saying, wow, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of David. He's got to be God. Look what he just did. It's wonderful. Those religious leaders, and they were a sour-looking lot, weren't they? They were a sour-looking lot. They were, the Bible says, they were sore displeased. They couldn't handle that someone was praising Jesus. And so Jesus said to them, very, very interesting. He said, hearest thou what these say, these, the children? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? You know what Jesus, in another verse in the Bible, this is what Jesus said. He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now there's something we can learn here. You know, you can learn a lot from kids. I love kids. I love kids. You can learn so much from kids. So often Jesus took little kids to him. In fact, one time little kids came to Jesus and he took them, and the disciples said, Lord, get rid of these pesky kids. Jesus said, no, no, no. Suffer or allow them to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We need to learn from the kids. We need to learn from what they said on this particular day when they praised Jesus. The religious people, they hated Jesus. And the Bible says they were sore displeased. They were really put out. They were really cranky that these kids were praising Jesus at the top of their voice. And he said, listen, you need to become as little children. Now, I was thinking last night, what is it like to become like a little child? Well, here's the first thing, just a couple of things. Little children are painfully honest. You ever notice that? Little children are painfully honest. When our kids were little, my Uncle Percy was still alive at that stage. I think Jesse was... I think he was 6 years old. And you know, we sort of, and David was about three, Jesse was six. We didn't have the girls at that stage. Well, we went to visit Uncle Percy in Bathurst. Uncle Percy, all the days I knew him, was a chain smoker. Now, of course, we taught our kids, don't smoke, okay? It's not good for you. You'll get cancer and so on. So of course, we go to visit Uncle Percy, who I don't think he'd ever met our children. He knew me, but I don't think he'd ever met Robin, and he'd never met our kids. So we go into Uncle Percy's place at Keppel Street in Bathurst. Uncle Percy's got a cigarette. So Jesse, six-year-old Jesse, goes up and comes running back and said, Dad, Uncle Percy's smoking a cigarette. That's really bad. Shush, Jesse. But Dad, he's smoking a cigarette. Yeah, I know, son. I know, he's smoking a cigarette. Now, us adults, we wouldn't say that. We'd hide it, wouldn't we? But little kids are painfully honest. They are. And that's a wonderful thing. Jesus said you've got to become as a little child. Little kids understand that they're naughty, that they're sinners. If you're a boy and girl here this morning, if you're a sinner, put your hand up. If you've ever done something wrong, yeah, put your hand up, everyone. Actually, mums and dads, you ever done anything wrong? Yeah, put your hand up, yeah. I was preaching at a church a few weeks ago on the New South Wales North Coast, and I was preaching on not this particular story, but I said, listen, everyone is a sinner. Every single person is a sinner. I know what my problem is. I know what your problem is. It's sin. And sin has cut you off from God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One fella halfway through that message, Brother Lynn, he got up and he left. Now, a middle-aged man got up, got in his... Now, I didn't know what was going on at the time, but he just got up and he left. And I was speaking to the pastor after the church, after the service. He said, he didn't like what you said. You called him a sinner. And he got up and stormed out and drove off. I thought, oh, that's good. Hopefully I've made him cranky. Why? You've got to be painfully truthful. Everyone is a sinner. The problem with my life is my sin. I know what your problem is, because we're all made of the same stuff, and it's a thing called sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, I don't care if you're 6 months old or 106 years old, we are sinners. What's the second thing? Little children don't complicate things. Little children are uncomplicated. You ever notice that? As adults, even maybe as teens and young adults, but as adults, life gets really complicated, and we complicate things in our minds. Kids don't complicate things. Jesus said you've got to become as little children. You know, you can complicate salvation. A lot of people complicate salvation. Well, if I want to become a Christian, but first of all, I've got to clean my life up, and then I've got to join the church, and I've got to become a bit religious, and I've got to do this, and I've got to... People complicate salvation, but it's simple. It's uncomplicated. We are sinners. Christ is the Saviour. He died for our sins. He rose again. He's alive today. Just trust Him. And some people tend to add things to salvation. We've got to try and become more moral, or we've got to try and clean our lives up. No, that doesn't work. You can't clean your life up before you become a Christian. You're dead in your sins. The Bible says that. You come as a guilty sinner to Jesus. He does the cleaning up. He gives you eternal life. He cleans you up from the inside out. Don't complicate salvation. And what's the last thing? Kids are painfully honest. Kids don't complicate things. Little children have simple trust. Simple trust. And this is, I think, what Jesus was saying when he said, you've got to become as a little child. Simple trust. Going back to my... Jesse's nearly 39 now, and he's a lot bigger than I am. But I remember when he was born, when we were living at Merrylands in Sydney, and the old place we were renting there had a veranda. And when he was about 3 years old, I remember he would come running off that veranda, and he would jump, and I'd be standing down there, and he'd jump, and I'd catch him. Now, I wouldn't want him to do that now. In fact, I wouldn't even want my little grandkids to do that now. My back's not real good. But you know, and you know, you parents know what I'm talking about. Your kids will jump into your arms. Why? Because you're their dad. I'm Jesse's dad. I'm the big, strong dad. And when you're 3, 4, 5 years old, your dad is the strongest, best-looking fella there is. And they just leap. Yeah, my dad will catch me. He's my dad. You know, that's what Jesus said. When you come to Jesus, just trust Him. He is strong. In fact, the Bible says He, Jesus, is able to save us to the uttermost. So I don't care how low in sin you are at this very moment. I don't care how low your life is. You just need to trust Jesus, not in childish faith, but in childlike faith. Just trust Him. Take God at His word. You say, what is this salvation bit all about? All right, we'll finish on these verses. The ABCs of salvation. Number one, A, admit you are a sinner. We've already mentioned this verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just admit it. If you don't see that you are lost, you're not going to get saved. That's the first thing. As they often say, you have to have someone lost before they're saved. Some Aussies, I know some Aussies, they think they're pretty good. Yeah, I volunteer down at St. Vinny's. I've, you know, worked in the school tuck shop. I've tried my best. It's like my old pastor used to say, it's like trying to pull yourself up by the shoelaces. It doesn't work. No, we are all lost, every single one of us. So we must admit that we are sinners and in need of a Saviour. Number two, we must believe that Jesus died for us. But God commendeth, this verse says, or demonstrated or proved His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the wonderful message of Christmas. Not just that Jesus came. Yes, He had to be born of a virgin. He had to become as a little baby and live as a man, a perfect life. But then He died. And He became the perfect sacrifice for my sins and your sins because of a just and holy God. And God's justice and God's righteousness and God's holiness demanded a payment on sin. And He was the only one who could make that payment. And He did. And when Jesus was on the cross after that 6 hours, he's just about to die. He said, "It is finished." What was finished? The payment for the sins of a lost world. The sins that were past, the sins that were future. And I don't understand it all, but I believe it. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died for you. And then C, confess him as your Saviour. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess, another verse puts it this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's that childlike faith. Trust. Trusting that what God says in his word, he will do. Trusting that God will keep the promises in his word. Well, that's my message for this morning. I didn't go for 90 minutes. But I'm going to just round it up by saying this. If you are not a Christian, I'm not asking are you religious. I'm not asking are you moral. I'm saying, was there a time in your life when you met Jesus at the crossroads and you said, "Yes, Jesus, I'm a hell-deserving sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. Please, according to the promises in your word, come into my life. Be my Saviour." If you haven't come to that point in your life, my friend, today might well be the greatest day in your life. Why not trust Jesus as your Saviour today? Not tomorrow. Not tonight, but today. That's what this church is all about. That's what One Way Club really is all about. That's it. The fact that Jesus saves sinners. And I'm the first one to admit that I'm a sinner, but I'm so glad that as a little 7.5-year-old, skinny, freckle-faced, fatherless kid that I said, "Yes, Jesus, in my own little childlike way, I need you in my heart. Please be my Saviour." And on that day, on the 14th of December, 1969, that was the day I asked Jesus to come into my heart. He said, "Did he come in?" "Yep." "Yep." "Did the lightning go off and so on?" No, I wasn't emotional at all. I just trusted God at his word. And he's been a wonderful Saviour to me for 54 years. Please, if you are not a Christian, would you come and be saved today? Let's have all heads bowed, please. And eyes closed, heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a little prayer. And then I'm going to hand back to Mr. Andrew to come and do whatever he does with the closing of the meeting. Thank you for listening. And thank you, boys and girls, for listening so well this morning. But I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you'd say, "Preacher, in my heart of hearts, I do not know that Jesus is in my heart. I do not know that I've ever asked Jesus to save me. But I see my need as a guilty sinner this morning. And I want to respond to the message this morning." This is how I'd like you to do it. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, and I will not call you by the name or anything like that. But if there's someone here this morning, you'd say, "Preacher, that is me. I do not know that I'm a Christian, but I would like to become a Christian this morning. And I want to respond to the message." Would you just put your hand up in the air so I can see it, and I'll include you in my prayer? Is there one person? Okay, thank you. Thank you. A couple of the boys and girls. Is there one of the adults who'd say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm a Christian"? God bless you. I see your hands. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm just going to include you in a general prayer here in just a moment. Is there someone else who'd say, "Preacher, I do not know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that Jesus lives in my heart. But I'd like to know more about having the Lord Jesus Christ in my life." Thank you, Lord, for those that raise the hand, dear Lord. You know where they stand with you. I don't. You do and they do. Lord, I pray now that those that were sincere in acknowledging their need of Jesus, may they find him today before they leave this place. Thank you, Lord, for the time in the Word of God. Bless the closing of the meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who's thankful for One Way Club? it's okay, adults, you can put your hands up if you like. And I'll look this way, okay, so you don't get embarrassed. Who's thankful for One Way Club? Now I can't tell if you just genuinely have a complaint, Mr. Jason, for that, by the way. I appreciate the phrase of being here this morning. And it's a wonderful tradition, if I could hear an amen. If you like that tradition as well, amen. You got two. That's good. He's not here to be popular. He's here to share the gospel and do what God instructs him to do. And we trust that we trust the hearts of all of our boys and girls to the Lord, because it's God that does that amazing work. And I've got to say, already it's been pointed out, but I've got to say, boys and girls, you have sat still so well this morning. Okay, it's not because you're asleep, but you've sat well, you've listened, and you've been very, very well behaved. And no doubt, parents, your children are like that at home all the time, aren't they? Yes. Good. All right. We can smell the lunch going on out the back. Let me say a few things as we do close, and I'll